But yeah, of course there are challenges. I think tokenism is a huge one of them. Like, is a challenge that a lot, like, for example, like some theater companies or producers, like using POC creatives for, like, I hate this word, and I'm speaking very, very generally, by the way. Like, I hate this word, but like using them for like woke points. It's such a dumb word.
Hi, this is Helen from Asian Bitches Down Under. I have the pleasure today to speak to a fantastic theatre performer, Kaya Ocampo, who I first came to know about from last year's theatre production, Atta La Via. I have to say, Atta La Via was such an intimate production with such powerful dialogues and role performance. I wish the production company would be able to bring it back on the stage again. I love the dynamics and how naturally every character fits right into the story is something really true talents could produce on stage. So Kaya is an actor, singer, theatre maker, and storyteller. Her notable theatre credits including playing in the title role of La Via in which I've just mentioned, Atta La Via, and performing in Sydney theatre companies Chimerica and Hay Theatre Gosby. Kaya is a passionate advocate for diverse POC and queer representation. And through her artistic endeavors, she uses a voice and humanity to tell more diverse stories on the Australian stage and screen. Her screen credits include Stan series Year Off and the short film Linger, which won Best LGBTQ Film and Best Produced Script at the LA Independent Women Film Awards, as well as Best Student Short Film at the WA Screen Culture Awards. Thank you and welcome, Kaya.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I want to start our conversation. Sorry, start from our conversation from the very beginning. Would you like to share with us your personal backgrounds and a bit about your family, childhood, where you grew up?
Yes, definitely. So I was born here in Sydney. I grew up here. I grew up in specifically Western Sydney, on Darug land. I was raised in Darug land and I love Darug land. My mom is from Bicol in the Philippines and my dad is from Malabon. And they married and moved to Sydney together in 1995 with my brother. Yeah, that's me.
Okay, so where did the love for acting started, and what was your family's response to your work?
Well, I always wanted to act and sing ever since I was little. And my mom and dad have always been supportive, so supportive of me. And anything I did, they were always so proud of me, which was like, yeah, no matter what I did, even if it was terrible, like they really had my back. And I don't think I definitely wouldn't have made it this far without them. They really did support my pursuits and my passions, and for me and my brother, because he's also in the entertainment industry. So I'm very grateful for that.
That's amazing. Did you have what did you watch when you were growing up? Did you have a heavy influence of Asian entertainment, or did you grow up watching mainly Australian TV?
It's funny, like, so, okay, well, like, growing up, like, I watched a lot of, like, sitcoms. I watched a lot of comedy, British and American. So, like, a lot of, like, random comedies that were really big in, like, the 80s and 90s. I would watch a lot of 80s rom-coms with my mom. That was a thing that we did together. And with my grandma, we would watch, like, these old-timey, like, British detective murder mystery shows that I was just absolutely obsessed with, and we did that together. That's what I kind of grew up with. I was yeah. I would also watch a lot of. I was talking to my friend about it the other day. I watched a lot of Bollywood movies with my grandma as well. Interestingly enough, I was never really big on TFC, to be honest, and like Tagalog. Yeah, I like we, but we just didn't have the Filipino channel like growing up at home, so I was just, yeah. But I did watch like the Australian shows. I did watch would always be with my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
It would never be with my mom and dad. My grandma would show me. She would just be watching whatever was on at the time and what was popular, and that would be either Australian or, yeah, like it would be a variety. Mm-hmm. It was never just one thing, which I loved.
Interesting. At what point in your life you made the decision of choosing performance as a career? Did you have a moment that you decided that, oh yes, I'm going to pursue this in my life, and because I have a passion for it and I can also make money out of it? Did you have any other career choices, or performing has always been, you know, your first choice?
Yeah, my performing has always been my first choice. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty nice for me from the beginning, I'd say. Musical theater was my first love.
Oh,
I grew
okay.
up watching classic
mm-hmm.
movie musicals with my mom and my grandma, and I was exposed to that from a very young age, and I always wanted to sing and perform, and I fell in love with it, and the love is still so strong. It's been 24 years and I'm still stuck with it. So musical theater I would say was like my first influence in terms of art.
Mm-hmm. I see. In specific of preparation for a character or a role, how do you do that? Do you think your life experience impacted on how you perform in the role on the stage? Because personally, I found it fascinating that some actors and actresses would, you know, be cast for a role that they have no life experience in and try to mold themselves into that role. Whereas, you know, some other actors and actresses would be cast in that role because they have a close proximity of their background and experience. How about you? Have you ever came across with a role where you found yourself spending more time to learn about the role and try to work on it?
Yeah, completely. It depends on the role for me. Like, my process changes every time. I mean, not entirely. There are some things that I'll always do, but I will be quite hectic and full on with the research and the preparation. I take that very seriously. but also finding the joy in the play and discovering who that character could be on the floor is also very exciting to me. Yeah, definitely. I take so much of my life into everything I do with my work. I'm always doing that to an extent. Mm-hmm. So with Livia, I didn't necessarily struggle financially in a way that she did all her life, but the family dynamics and the generational trauma, that's something that I think every Asian girl experiences.
Yeah.
And I wasn't shy in like, I didn't shy away from that. I definitely tapped into that emotionally and where it sat in my body. And I found that I could relate to her in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And with this character, it's completely different, but yeah, it depends. But I always take from my life. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with the character of Livia. I think that really.
I want to know what you thought of it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm very. I want to hear your review. I'm very.
Oh, okay.
Excited.
I love it. I thought it was so intimate. Even though it was a very small production and there wasn't a lot of audience. I went with my son, and he really liked it as well, because we hardly go to a production with a very close proximity to the actors. It was just, I think all the dynamics came together so well. And I think the performer who played Livia's father, was it Marcus? I can't remember his
name. Marcus Rivera, insane.
Oh my goodness.
Sanity.
He was brilliant. Yeah. He was really good. I mean, everyone was really fantastic. And I love your
relationship. I'm his number one fan.
I love how you depicted the relationship with the love interest. you know, between the best friend, sorry, I can't remember her name again. The girl who was playing
Dindi,
that's right, yeah, Dindi.
Yes.
You know, you two were working together, and it was just so intimate and so brilliantly, you know, played out. The whole production, it was just brilliant. I think, yeah, that's why I keep thinking that. Oh, I'm hoping that you will bring it back again, because I really want to recommend it to my other friends to go. It went for a couple of days only, so. By the time I finished,
it was quite a short run.
Yeah, definitely.
If they were keen, I would love to bring it back as well. I'm so glad you enjoy it.
Yeah, it was so.
Which character do you feel you related to the most?
I think I relate to Livia the most, absolutely, because I'm the eldest daughter of my family, and I feel so much relate. It's so relatable to that kind of tug and pull situations that you want to maintain the harmony within the family, but you can't please everyone, but also you want to satisfy your own needs. It's just I don't want to use the word insane, but it's so real. It's really depicting the reality of a lot of Asian women out there in the West, I think.
Jordy's writing is out of this
world. Yeah, it was a brilliant script. I want to move on to
sorry.
That's all right, that's okay. I want to move on to a question about your opinions for POC, people of color, in performing industry in Australia, in specifically as a queer, the queer and female position. What do you see, or have you experienced challenges? Do you think that it is getting better, or how do you feel about things are changing?
Yeah, it's a huge question, and I feel like everyone's asking that more and more, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of my outlook in terms of like POCs in the industry, it's a very, very, very broad subject and issue, and like to give you a simple answer, I'm very inspired by like the work that I see like my POC friends are doing currently in the industry, and how a lot of them are making their own work, and a lot of them are kind of defying the status quo in a way, rather than like waiting to like get cast or get funding for this. Like they're writing, they're making, they're doing whatever they can, and they're owning who they are, and they're doing it authentically as themselves, which I think is like incredible. But yeah, of course there are challenges. I think tokenism is a huge one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's challenged that a lot. Like, for example, like some theater companies or producers like using POC creatives for like, I hate this word, and I'm speaking very, very generally, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate this word, but like using them for like woke points. Mm-hmm. Such a dumb word. But like, just in a way that like, I feel like there's a lot of performative like allyship within the industry.
Mm.
But in reality, when it comes to like their actions and behaviors or their values, it's not really reflecting the fact that they want to protect POC and queer creatives of our industry. They'll use them for
whatever benefit that they can,
to monetize and profit off them. But when it actually comes to like supporting them in terms of their needs, in terms of like making their own stories, it just kind of, like they'll use them for make someone like the poster boy for this, or like, you know, a show pony for that. But
mm-hmm.
in reality, it's like it's very surface level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where that's where the issue lies. Like, we can't, the work doesn't stop there. Like, you can't just cast. It doesn't start and end with casting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get the writers in the room. Like, get the right writers in the room. Get like who are actually telling the stories. Are you actually creating a safe environment for these people and for these creators?
Absolutely.
Rather than just being like, Yep, we casted them. We did our job. Cool. You know, aren't we great? Celebrate this. Like, it's just very performative, I feel. And that's like a huge challenge in the industry currently that I think.
Oh, I see. I think yeah. It's also.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah, I totally understand because, you know, it's nice to see that how within in media and entertainment industry, we're having a lot more representation, you know, representation, diversity, these words being thrown around and becoming a bit more performative when they don't really dive in deep to see who is creating the story or what are the stories are, who are the stories are created for and who actually has the authority and the power behind these stories. And that's great that you said that, yeah, we need to do more. It's nice to see. It's better than, you know, 10, 20 years ago, but there's still a lot more to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I completely agree. Like progress is definitely being made, but I think the provocation I would offer to like people in higher positions of power is like getting like fresh new ideas from incredible POC and queer creatives, like giving them opportunities, you know, for possible, like, you know, mentorships and eventually like trusting them in certain positions. Obviously, like, you know, when people are ready and like there are like so many like highly skilled creatives out there. It's not as if we were like there's a lack of us. It's just being given that opportunity and not just stopping at a very surface level step. I didn't make any sense. It shouldn't be performative is my conclusion is my point.
Very well said. Yeah, don't worry. You're on the right track. I would like to talk about your latest production, Girl Band. Would you be able to tell us about your role in this production? And also, I am assuming, sorry that I'm going to assume that you're very, I shouldn't be saying sorry because you look so young. And I was wondering whether or not you were born in the 90s or the 80s, because apparently this production is about a girl band in the 90s. How does the production team create the, you know, the vibe of the 90s?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, I am very young, and I wasn't there for the 90s. I'll tell you that much. I didn't exist. But we just got great people on board, and Katie Warner grew up in the 90s and she was all about that scene. So we have an incredible writer. I think like Moni, the production designer, is like, she's absolutely fantastic in terms of like creating the world with set, with costume, with like we all help each other in terms of research with like music and videos and documentaries of the Spice Girls, as well as like all of these other like girl bands and what they've gone through and the behind the scenes with their record label, with their producers. It's like we're really immersing ourselves in the world.
Mm-hmm. What's your role in the production? You're one of the member of the girl band?
Yes, I am. I play Jade. Mm-hmm. She is the youngest in the band. She's a bit of a, I don't want to say a dag, she's a bit of a goof. She loves a good time. and she's all about it. She loves to sing. She's not great in terms of coordination and with dance moves. She's the worst dancer out of all of them. And she can't really keep up. So she delays rehearsals by long periods of time because she is not, that's just not her forte. But she's a lot of fun and she brings so much joy and she is just the most inexperienced, but yeah, brings this kind of liveliness and excitement to the girl band. And that contrasts to, like, as opposed to the other members who are a bit more jaded and bitter.
I love that. So the production is called Girl Band, which will be performing from the 18th to the 27th of May at Lennox Theatre, Riverside Theatre, which is in Parramatta, Western Sydney.
Yes.
Yeah, and
yes.
Okay. Don't let everyone, tickets are on sale now. Please do refer to our episode show notes for more detail. And where can our listeners find you on social media?
So I'm on Instagram. It's just my first and last name, all lowercase. And yeah, just Insta. I don't really have anything else.
Well, thank you for speaking with me, Kaya, and all the best with the show coming up next week.
Thanks so much, Helen.